when Italy and Ethiopia signed the Treaty of Wakile, and I might be slaughtering that word, and I apologize if I am, in 1889, the Europeans had been slicing up Africa for well over five decades, and the treaties that were signed from this had become very common, and you know, you can almost do it in your sleep. And that was until there was a misunderstanding in this treaty that went afoul. In the Ethiopian version of the treaty, dictated in Amharic, they included a clause agreeing that the Ethiopian emperor could use the Italian embassy to conduct his foreign affairs, you know, if he so chooses. But the Italian version that was translated from the Amharic translated that permissive clause into a mandatory one. To them, the emperor had agreed that he was to be to must use the Italian embassy. In this case, that meant he would have become a colony. That's the word. Colony of Italy. And they were delighted at this, that they would just willingly give up their country without a fight. However, when this misunderstanding was cleared up, there was war between the two countries. Now, the Italians, they were for certain that they would be able to crush the Ethiopians just like other European powers had done in other countries there in Africa. Unfortunate for them, the Ethiopian emperor could field over 120,000 men, half of them with modern rifles of that age, and had also purchased 50 Russian-mounted guns that actually outranged the Italian artillery. And as you would guess, those would-be colonizers got their clocks cleaned there in that battle between the Ethiopians and them. Misunderstandings. They could be deadly and dangerous because of a misunderstanding. You could fail an exam in school, for instance, or lose a friend, or garner hard feelings within your family. The greatest danger of misunderstanding is that it can destroy you spiritually as you seek to be a disciple of Jesus. Misunderstanding and doubt goes all the way back to the beginning. Satan planted doubt in the mind of Eve by questioning her understanding in the garden. Did God actually say you shall eat of this tree in the garden? Are you sure you understood him correctly? We here are aware of the results of this. And ever since, Satan has used doubt and misunderstanding to destroy people. Tonight we confess it's Peter, Jesus, and me, and it's all about misunderstanding what Jesus came to do. We might be tempted to think that Jesus came to create a kingdom, his church, that is, to act like a governing body and by which all nations would be ruled. Tonight, we'll go beyond misunderstanding to the true meaning of our Lord's mission. And this is his mission. It's not earthly. It's spiritual. It's the redemption of mankind. Now, I'd like to us to imagine in our gospel text, let's put ourselves in that garden scene. I'd like you to pretend here for a second you're one of the disciples. You could be Judas, but that would probably be uncomfortable for you. So maybe just pick one of the other disciples. You're in a garden, and it's late, right? And you see off in the distance a light coming closer. And as it comes closer, you see it's torches. And as they're getting closer, you see that they are armed men. You see Judas there. And they're coming closer and walking towards you. And as they get really close, you see your rabbi, Jesus, take a step forward to this group. And he says, "Who are you looking for? Or whom do you seek?" And the group there with weapons and torches and Judas, they say, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus there replies, "I am he." And then the most amazing thing happens. These men that have come with weapons and torches, they fall to the ground on their knees. You know, it's not custom when people come to arrest someone to bow down before a criminal, and unless they're mocking him, like you heard in the gospel, your passion reading. But generally, you know, they don't bow before criminals. That's not the standard way to go. Who is your rabbi that he has this power to make men fall on their knees by his mere words? But then your rabbi does the craziest thing imaginable. He willingly surrenders to these men. Of his own free will, he goes forth to lay down his life for the world. Craziest thing. Now, here, Peter in our story, his confidence begins to crack. His misunderstanding of Jesus really takes hold of him. I wonder what was going through Peter's mind at that current moment. It must have been inconceivable that this was happening. Everything that this disciple, Peter, had hoped for, an earthly kingdom, a place of honor and power in that kingdom, it was all collapsing around him. His master was taken captive there that evening. So Peter, at this moment, mustering all the courage he had, he did the wrong thing at that moment. He pulled out his sword and cut off an ear of the high priest's servant. Peter had badly misunderstood Jesus' mission on earth. Now, had he recalled how Jesus fled the crowds when they wanted to crown him king, an earthly king, or how he had told his disciples that he must suffer and die, if Peter would have been open to seeing that the events happening in the life of Jesus were fitting into place just like Jesus had planned, he would have seen that Jesus knew he must be taken, tried, condemned, and crucified. Peter misunderstood the kingdom Jesus was bringing and how it was coming about. So for us today, we're not Peter. We weren't there in the garden. What's our misunderstanding look like today? What are we facing? For instance, you would misunderstand Jesus' kingdom if you only looked or primarily looked to Jesus for material blessing. In this case, Jesus is like a Santa Claus, doling out really great gifts. You'd want to repent of your sins, so you'd made sure that good things were going to keep coming and coming to you, that sin would deprive you of these blessings. You might not be sorry for the sins that grieve God or hurt your neighbor. You repent for yourself, but not for the world and things happening around you. But maybe, amen. That was yours? Yep, that's her misunderstanding. We got the organist, we got her misunderstanding. She wants a Santa Claus. But maybe you guys, maybe that's not yours. Maybe we would misunderstand Jesus and his mission if we looked for him primarily for the hour of death and for eternity. This would be like seeing Jesus as an insurance policy. You know, its value only kicks in after death. We might not be interested in Christ and his will for our lives today and tomorrow. We want a Savior, but not a Lord. We want forgiveness of sins, but we might be slow to seek the strength to overcome the sin now and live in a Christ-like way. But maybe that's not yours. Maybe yours is you see the church and his kingdom as a status symbol. Maybe you see faith as giving us a certain sort of social power. Maybe it's a status symbol of a time when the church was really hopping and things were growing and exciting. We might be excited for that moment, that power, but we might be disengaged from sharing the good news in today's context, wherever you find yourself today. We want significance, but we might not actually want the mission of Jesus. And maybe none of those are your thing. Maybe your misunderstanding comes from a personal matter. Maybe your misunderstanding comes from some past event in your life. Maybe it's a belief or an idea you have. But no matter the case, you still have to ask yourself, what's at the root of my misunderstanding of Jesus' mission and my place in it? And Jesus says none of these misunderstandings will do. He wants to be your Savior and Lord of every moment, of every day, of every year of your life, all the way into eternity. Why? Because anything else would lead you to death. Anything else would lead you away. He wants you to seek him as Savior and Lord for forgiveness now, to live new lives now, to learn to love as he loved, and to serve as he served. Why? Because anything else would be death instead of life. If we don't look to him for all of this, we are in misunderstanding. So tonight we ask, is our misunderstanding leading us into darkness? Are we lost children? Brothers and sisters, Jesus does not give up on the lost. He said his mission was to seek and to save the lost. Jesus understood his mission perfectly and was going to bring it about. He said that his mission was to seek and to save the lost. And Jesus does not let anything, Peter's sword, or even our misunderstanding, stopping him from going to the cross to be our Savior. There was a man, he was walking along the street, and all of a sudden, it just kind of opened up under him, and he fell into a giant pit. It must have been one of these sinkholes because it was raining a lot, right? And he was down there, and he tried crawling out, but he couldn't get out, and so he starts yelling, "Help, help, help me out of here." And he hears some footsteps walking up, and he yells up, "Help, I'm stuck down here in the pit." And a man walks over and looks down. He says, "Pull yourself up by your own bootstraps," and walks off. Man's stuck in the pit still. And so he yells, "Help, help, help." And another set of footsteps comes up. And he yells, "Help, I'm stuck in the pit." And the man goes, "Well, you must have done something in your past to deserve this. You probably should stay down there for a while." And walks off. Still stuck in the pit. Starting to lose a little hope here. He yells, "Help, help." And he hears a man coming down. And this man has a ladder. And the man says, "Hey, can you put that ladder down here? I really need to get out of this pit." And the man says, "No, this is mine. I'm sorry. This is my ladder. I need it in case I fall in a pit later too. So you're going to have to find your own ladder." And walks off. "Help, help, help." And all of a sudden, he hears quick footsteps like someone's running. And all of a sudden, he sees above him like a black silhouette of a body jumping up and down into the pit with him. The man in the pit goes, "You fool! Now we're both stuck down here." And the man goes, "I've been down here before, and I know the way out." As you look upon that garden scene, see his willing surrender. "I am he," as Jesus jumping down into your pit to show you the way out and the way to life. As you consider Jesus' words, "If you seek me, let these men go," know for certain that he voluntarily delivers himself into his enemy's hands as the Lamb of God to be sacrificed for the sins of the world. Trust that he was and still is protecting his disciples, reminding the captors that they are to arrest only him. Satan and sin have no power over you because Jesus has already surrendered and won and jumped in the pit. Jesus says to you, "Let these men go," as a reminder that your sins are mine, your death is mine, and your judgment is mine. "I will be wounded for your transgressions. I will be bruised for your iniquities. My suffering and death, you will be healed by it, enlightened by it, and guided towards true freedom. So go your way and be free, for you are forgiven." Jesus' mission is that, the redemption of mankind. And it has been done for you. Your redemption is accomplished. Its fruits keep flowing into your life, empowering you day by day to believe and to live as forgiven children of God with new life in his name. That is the story of Jesus, Peter, in each and every one of us. Amen.